Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Second to None podcast. I am Blaine Gilmer here with my co-host, Tavares King. Tavares, we are here on a What's the Spread Wednesday, where we're going to talk about week four. Can you believe it is already week four of the football season and SEC action is in full swing? Tavares, I mean, there's some key games here that we're looking forward to this week. We learned a lot last week. Now we're going to talk about what Vegas is thinking heading into this week.
Yeah, we get to talk about a little bit about Vegas. I think some key games this week are LSU at Mississippi State, Texas A&M at Arkansas, or a couple just to name a few. But man, I think that you said it. Week four. We're kind of flying through it.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun. And speaking of having fun, if you want to add a little bit extra to the games, you know, it's not enough for you just to see the outcome of the game. You want to feel like you got a little something on it. You can always go over to BetOnline TK and make sure you're doing things right on there. BetOnline is the sponsor of the show here on the Believe Podcast Network. It's that time of year again, and all eyes are on the gridiron as football teams are back in the swing of things, guys. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all your pro and college football action this season. Get all the latest odds and props and contests, everything that you could imagine, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL contest, the world's largest $200,000 survivor contest open now at BetOnline. BetOnline is the website that you need to go to. So head on over there with your mobile device, sign up today, and you get 100% welcome bonus on top of what you add in there. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sports book expert. So TK, as always, thankful for BetOnline for presenting the program here on the Believe Podcast Network and also on the 365 Sports YouTube channel. Make sure to go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Turn on notifications for all the content that not only TK and I, but the guys, they go live from 3 to 6 Central over there, covering a lot of college football topics. And there's just so much. JD Piquel, there's so much stuff going on here on the 365 Sports YouTube channel. And we're also proud to partner with the Sideline Sports Network as our social media partner at @SSN_collegefootball and @Sidelines_SN. Catch all their content. They come out with rankings, the topical stuff. They're going to be starting a website and all kinds of stuff here coming soon. So thankful for all our show partners. And now, without a further ado, TK, we can talk about some of these games going on this week and some of the Vegas action that is going down on them. None other that we need to start with than the one that the SEC is kind of deemed the game of the week, because I believe it's the CBS 330 game, and it's going to be held in Jerry's World. The alma mater of Jerry Jones is Arkansas. Played football at Arkansas, and now they're going to be playing there in Jerry's World. And, you know, when it comes down to it, TK, you have two teams right here that are undefeated, but maybe playing a little bit different type of football right now. What's your opinion? You know, Texas A&M, a 5.5-point favorite in Dallas versus Arkansas. What's kind of your thoughts on that initial line?
I'm gonna favor in the sense of that it's probably a little, it's probably right on. I think it'll be a good game, but man, just looking at the tape, there's a lot of things I like about Arkansas. There's a lot of things I like about Sam Pittman's team, both offensively and defensively. And the first thing being KJ Jefferson. I really think that this cat's a leader. I think KJ Jefferson's poised. I think he's a load when running the ball. Yeah. And I think he does that really well. I think he's coming into his own, and I think that he has a lot of pieces around him that are really good. Number 16, Traylon. Number 84, Warren Thompson. Davion Warren. These guys can flat out fly. And when it's rolling, it looks really good. Getting the backs involved with their RPO game. as well as the read option that they run. It looks really good. And I think that the consistency issues that they had early on were due to some drops, obviously, from the receivers, as well as just some missed throws. But when it's rolling, bro, looking at the tape, when it's rolling, they look good. They look like a really good team when things are going good for them. And that being said, they have a really good defense to help on the other side of that. So I think that game is going to be a really interesting game Saturday for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. And you see right here, like I said, Texas A&M, a
5.5-point
favorite. I think that that's largely TK due to the fact of the recruiting advantage that Texas A&M has had over the last, three or four years over in Arkansas. The accumulation of talent alone probably puts them in a position to be favored in this game. So that's partly what Vegas is thinking here. Vegas also, they do their homework. Like you said, TK, they like to make money out there. So they're not just throwing points around for no reason. You see Dylan Wagner and Ricky Stromberg are hurt, two of the starting offensive linemen for Arkansas. And it's unclear as to whether they're either going to be able to play in this game. If they're down two-fifths of their starting offensive line, these are all five starters that returned from last season for Arkansas and for Sam Pittman. And if they lose two of those guys against a talented Texas A&M defense, say what you want about Texas A&M's offense and the struggles. And we'll throw this graphic back up on the screen here again. You see Zach Calzada, 37 of 72, only 51.4% on the year. So we talked about KJ Jefferson's inconsistency in the passing game. Zach Calzada's had a lot of inconsistency in the passing game. But when you talk about Texas A&M defensively, that front, they're able to get a lot of pressure on people. They play not to the same dominance level, but in a very similar fashion to a Georgia in terms of being a stifling defense, somebody that creates a lot of pressure. If you're an offense going into a game, potentially would have not having two-fifths of your offensive line, TK, and experienced guys in that, it would kind of be hard to maybe consider yourself for Vegas to consider that team a favorite with two, I guess, somewhat evenly matched teams on a neutral site.
Yeah, I mean, we all know that everything starts with those big fellas up front, and missing two guys that have played in this league and have major experience is gonna play a major role in this game, I think. But I think something that can help those guys is being able to run the ball with those two guys missing, being able to still do what you do, because I think that'll begin to open up things downfield. And that's something to look at for sure with those two guys being out.
And you also see there's trends in this game. Arkansas's lost 9 straight to Texas A&M. I know you never look, based off past production for, outcome of a game and stuff like that. But there is those trends can't be ignored when you got to just seem to have kind of your thumb on a team, so to speak. And but Texas A&M, I think what they've got to do in terms of why they're probably not a bigger favorite in this game, TK, because they do have, I think, the superior talented roster at this point, because Sam Pittman's doing a good job in recruiting, but he's not been able to do what Jimbo Fisher has done to this point, because he's just now getting what now?
So they're not there yet.
Oh, no, they're not there yet, and they don't have the recruiting budget and all that kind of stuff at this point that an A&M does with that oil money down there in Texas, But when it comes down to it, I think that you see one reason they're favorite is because the offensive line for Texas A&M has been atrocious. I mean, they've poor Zach Calzada, one reason maybe he's not as accurate as he's fearing for his life. The dude's been sacked 5 times last week by New Mexico. If the New Mexico Lobos are sacking you 5 times in a game, your offensive line's got some problems there. So you can see I put up in the right-hand corner of the graphic on the 365 Sports YouTube channel, the X factor for me is that pass protection. How does Zach Calzada get protected? Because that that Barry Odom is going to dial up some blitzes and some things like that. So I think this is an intriguing game. I think the line is about where it needs to be simply because of the overall roster talent disparity of Texas A&M and Arkansas. But I think it also says that Vegas is acknowledging that Arkansas is playing some good football right now.
Yeah, I definitely think it speaks volumes to the I think it definitely praises that team and that coaching staff on what they're doing over there. I mean, they've got my attention for sure as well. I think they've got some good things happening over there. Again, those five sacks, man, last week, New Mexico State, I think Bumper Pool and that defense, Jalen Catalan, they might have a little bit that
They may bring Jalen Catalan Ed Reed style coming down safety blitz type deal. You know, Greg Blue, Ed Reed, they bring it back a little bit. So they're bringing back a lot of stuff there. But another game, TK, our next game that I think is very interesting is LSU. You and I have both we both questioned LSU as a program a little bit with last week with, you know, how that they've been able to handle things in terms of an organization standpoint. It just seems that the program is in disarray and stuff like that. And to me, it's telling, even though they had a good win over what I consider still to be a good Central Michigan ball club, they really handled business. It's telling that the LSU, who's only 2 years removed from a national championship, is just a 2.5-point favorite on the road at Starkville. TK, you know, right off the bat, LSU being a 2.5-point favorite at Mississippi State, what are your thoughts on the line of this game, and maybe why you think Vegas is thinking that direction?
Man, I like where it's at. I think it's going to be – this might be the best game of the weekend. Obviously, with that air raid offense, Coach Leach and Mississippi State, they're gonna try to put up points as well, so it'll be a fun game to watch. They're going to shouldn't be chunking it around. But watching the tape, man, Max Johnson, he looks better. I feel like he's getting better every week, week in and week out, and for several reasons. Obviously, we know about Kayshon Boutte, but Deion Smith, bro, cut the tape on, watch this kid today, freshman. He's emerging as a guy that is a playmaker, somebody that you want to get the ball in his hands and watch him work.
He's going home this week too. He's from Jackson, Mississippi. Yeah. So he's gonna go back to his home state. You know, he'll have some
going back to the crib, so you know he's trying to show out. You just know it. But the dude's a baller, not just throwing the ball at him, just you want to get the ball in his hands, and he can run good routes, as well as go up top. I think he scored three touchdowns last week. He was balling on Central Michigan. Sorry, we doubted you guys last week.
Yeah, and they have a tight end too, TK, Jack Besh, that is starting to emerge. We said that one thing they needed to do was they needed to diversify from Kayshon Boutte, and you know, Kayshon Boutte was the one that had coming into the game. I think it was like well over 60% of their production on the receiving side, and you know, Deion Smith steps up this past week, like you mentioned. Jack Besh is becoming a reliable target, and you know, Max Johnson is going to need that. I still think, as I put it up here, you know, it's a question of they tackled better against a good running back in Lou Nichols. We said that Lou Nichols for Central Michigan is a guy not to be taken lightly. Well, they held him to 18 yards rushing. I think that's huge for that LSU defense. Probably one of the better tackling performances they've had since Dave Aranda's been gone. So we'll see if they can make it 2 weeks in a row, because TK, you know, with the style of system that Mississippi State runs, they're going to be putting athletes in space. And when you're in space, it's all about that open field tackling. So LSU will either be exposed once again, or they will show that they've improved from that UCLA performance.
Yeah, you know, again, Coach Leach and that air raid offense is going to put those guys in positions to where they have to make plays. They have to make fundamentally sound tackles. And tackling in space is hard, bro. We talked about it last episode. I've been a gunner before. I always said if I had to tackle, something bad happened. We done did something wrong. But no, yeah, tackling good athletes, bro, is hard. So I think that that's going to be a task for those guys, because Coach Leach is going to put them in a situation to where they have to tackle in space.
And I think one reason that LSU also is a favorite on the road here, even though Starkville is a tough place to play, one, like we talked about with the Texas A&M and Arkansas game, I think LSU's roster through recruiting is a more talented roster. But also, I don't think that people trust this Mississippi State ball club to run the ball enough to threaten LSU, because LSU, that's where they struggle, is tackling in the run game and defending the run game. Well, the problem is Mississippi State is averaging 55.6 rushing yards per game to start off the year. They've had like under 30 something, I think, in the last two games. And, you know, they're just not really committing to it. They threw the ball 67 times against Memphis. I know they're an air raid, TK, but when it comes down to it in the SEC, even in a Mike Leach system, to win games at a certain point, I think you have to be able to run the football at least with a modicum of success. I mean, is that not correct? And based on everything you've ever seen in the SEC?
Yeah, 100%. It's definitely the game of football is a passing lead, is a passing game, but you have to be able to run the football, bro. You got to be able to mix it up. And I think that Coach Leach and that staff will probably do that a little bit more this game to kind of control the clock and control to keep LSU and Max Johnson from, you know, hitting them over the head, hanging 60 on them. I think that hell, we might see a shootout.
Yeah, you never know. But, you know, Zach Arnett in that defense has got to be thinking, you know, man, we stonewalled NC State 2 weeks ago. We held an explosive Memphis team who was averaging over 600 yards a game of offense, held them to under 250 total yards of offense, and still lost that game because of special team miscue and a turnover. But you would got to think that if they're thinking, man, if we could just run the ball a little bit more and keep our defense maybe on the sideline just a little bit more, it could help. So maybe some more complimentary football comes out of Mississippi State over there. You know, Mississippi State, though, I will say one reason I think they're within a field goal in this game, according to Vegas, is because I think that Zach Arnett-led defense is playing well. I mean, they've started to really produce and tighten things up. So it is an exciting matchup, TK. And speaking of exciting, we're excited here on the pod to be partnering with PlayActionPools.com this season to bring interactive fun to the sport that we love. You'll be able to get in on the action with our Play Action Pools football pick'em challenge, which is open to everyone. So here's how it works. Sign up with the contest Believe Football Pick'em at PlayActionPools.com and then get your picks in each week. We're going to be selecting the 10 highest profile games of the week between NFL and college. Whoever gets the most picks correct each week will win part of the electric sunglasses, will win a pair of electric sunglasses and a pair of DC shoes. Again, go to PlayActionPools.com, sign up for the contest Believe, that's BLEAV Football Pick'em. And if you plan on hosting your own football contest at the office or something like that, PlayActionPools.com is where you need to go. Play Action Pools, your new home for all office sports pools. They've got Survivor, they've got Pick'em, they got sports book style contest, build your bankroll. So go over to PlayActionPools.com. Appreciate PlayActionPools.com for partnering with the Second to None podcast. TK, we've talked about two games so far, with Texas A&M being a 5.5-point favorite over Arkansas in Dallas. We've talked about LSU taking on Mississippi State. Those are two of the kind of the what I consider the primary matchups here. I mean, you've got a Kentucky that is a 5-point favorite on the road versus a South Carolina team that just got absolutely waxed in Athens last week. You know, they were just overmatched. I will give it to Luke Doty. He's a playmaker, man. He tried to extend some plays and was able to make some good throws even on that Georgia secondary. So I think them seeing what Luke Doty brings to the table, and the fact that Kentucky did struggle last week with Chattanooga, maybe sleptwalk through that game like we talked about, I think that might be why that's a 5-point game. I think because in reality, I view Kentucky as a team myself that if I was handicapping a game, it would be probably closer to 10 points or almost a two score game. But I think maybe South Carolina getting Luke Doty back and getting some rhythm with Josh, you know, Van and that offense, and then Kentucky having struggles last week. That is that kind of why you think this game's more of a five point favorite game for Kentucky?
Yeah, I'd have to say so. I'd have to say it was the sleepwalk game that Kentucky pulled last week against Chattanooga, as well as you know, South Carolina getting their quarterback back. He did look okay later in the game.
I mean, as good as you can look against that Georgia defensive front.
Yeah. He looked okay later in the game. But, you know, me personally, I think Will Levis in this Kentucky team, like you said, is really good. I think, like we said earlier, they had a sleepwalk game, and I think they'll go into Columbia and wake up.
Well, Will Levis went out on social media after the game, said he was, you know, thankful for the win, but he guaranteed that a different team would show up in Columbia next week. That's strong words from the quarterback who's now, you know, just gotten there really as a transfer and is taking on that leadership role. And I think one thing that's going to really help Kentucky in this upcoming game is the fact that they have a guy like Chris Rodriguez to turn around and hand the ball to, and James Cook and Zamir White and Kenny McIntosh, a bunch of those guys had success running the ball. Georgia went for 185, I think, in that game against South Carolina on the ground, which was their greatest output of the season to date, rushing the ball, I believe. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. But I think that's an pretty accurate line. Georgia's favored by, 30-something points. I think it's 34 points over Vanderbilt. So that's a bigger point spread, TK, than it was against UAB. That's really shocking to believe that when it's an SEC team. But, probably going to be a lot of red and black up in the stands in Nashville. You know, they tend to take over.
It's a home game.
Yeah, it's like a home game. So I think that's definitely what Vegas is seeing in the blowout matchup up there in Vanderbilt. We're not even going to really acknowledge the Alabama Southern Miss game. I feel sorry for the Southern Miss Golden Eagles because, you know, Nick Saban's got plenty to be pissed off about after that Florida matchup. So they're going to be taking it out on Southern Miss down there. Then Auburn has a game where they'll be heavily favored over Georgia State. No big deal there in terms of betting. But when it comes to the two games that we have left, you have Tennessee and Florida. Tennessee is going to the Swamp, and they have quarterback issues, TK. You know, so when this game comes up between Tennessee and Florida, Florida's favored by 20 points, and we'll see what ends up, being the ultimate outcome, and we'll give our picks on Friday. But what do you think the reasoning is if you had to get your line setter mindset for Vegas out there? Why do you think Florida is a 20-point favorite in this matchup at the Swamp?
Well, I think that they're looking at how tough they played that Alabama team at home in the Swamp. On our last episode, we talked about how fans played a big role. I think that they'll play a big role in this one too. I think that Tennessee team struggling a little bit versus some teams that they should have not struggled a little bit against. And I think that Emory Jones and Anthony Richardson will probably be a little bit healthier than he was last week. So I think that things will, kind of work in the favor of that 20-point spread.
No doubt. And you do have to say that, Tennessee in terms of stopping the run. They haven't been terrible this year. You know that's what Florida is going to try to go out and do. So maybe the fact that it's a 20-point game, because Florida, in my opinion, honestly, could end up winning this way more than 20 points, just because of the talent disparity in the programs right now, how successful Dan Mullen is at kind of scheming things up, and Josh Heupel is just kind of getting that defense kind of right and going up there and getting the team itself. But another reason that you probably have Florida as such a big favorite is Tennessee doesn't know who their quarterback is going to be going into this, you know, game. You got Hendon Hooker, you got Joe Milton, that who does he go with? So we'll see what happens there. Hendon Hooker's done some good things. There's been some inconsistency still. Joe Milton was very inconsistent during his time before getting his injury. So he should be back and maybe ready to go. If he is, it's going to be a decision where who knows, maybe they play both. There's an old saying out there, if you got two quarterbacks, you don't have one at all. So, you know, we'll see what ends up happening, TK, there. But Florida's doing the two quarterback thing.
Yeah, successfully. I was about to say, this is a four quarterback game.
Yeah, there's going to be so many dang quarterbacks on the field, man. You got AR-15 and Emory Jones out there doing their things, running the option. Like, it'll be interesting to me to see if the amount of option that Florida ran against Alabama was just an adjustment for Saban, or if that's going to continue to be a staple of the offense here with Dan Mullen after the success that they had. So, you know, Tennessee is going to be having to prepare for a lot of different things when it comes to this Florida offense.
Yeah, well, you got to think it's going to stick around. If it gave Bama fits, you got to think it's going to give up some other folks fits as well. So you got to think that's something that they'll definitely have to prepare for.
No doubt. Josh Heupel and company, they're banged up on the offensive line as well right now. Both Cooper and Cade Mays have been hurt at different points throughout the year. Cooper's not, you know, wasn't back for this last game versus Tennessee Tech. So we'll see if he's able to come back at center for them. So when you have health issues at center, you got questions at quarterback, it kind of, we see why that line's at 20 for Florida right now, even though, Tennessee, it's been 4 years since they beat Florida, and, you know, even longer than that. I mean, I think they've lost 9 straight in the swamp. So this once storied rivalry has become quite lopsided. So a 20-point spread there for Tennessee and Florida in favor of the Gators. And then we're going to end it up with one game that I think may be the most intriguing game to me, TK. Missouri, a Missouri team that has, you know, they only won by 10 points early in the year, Central Michigan game. They played Kentucky very tough, within 7 points there in Lexington, which is not easy against a good Kentucky team. But now they're going on the road to a Boston College team. They're a 2.5-point favorite on the road. I think that kind of says a lot about the job that Eli Drinkwitz has done in his second year there at Missouri. Connor Bazelak, we've talked about Tyler Beatty, who took over for Larry Roundtree there, the all-time leading rusher in Missouri history. And, you know, I think with him being able to kind of step into that role and produce early on this year, Connor Bazelak having another year under his belt, that really says a lot about this Missouri program year two under Eli Drinkwitz and why they're a favorite, a 2.5-point favorite on the road against a good Boston College team.
Yeah, I think it's huge. I think that Beatty's going to have a big game due to the fact that they don't see backs like that, like him, week in and week out. I think that BC is a good team, but I think that up front, Missouri has an advantage in that aspect, and I think they got a back in the backfield that can make people miss, can run through people and do some special things. So I think it's going to be a good day for Missouri.
Boston College will be entering this game with a, you know, backup quarterback. They lost Phil Jurkovec, a very talented, experienced player for them for the rest of the season because of a hand injury last week. So they'll have a backup quarterback in this game. So anytime you got that kind of adjustment, and overall, you know, Missouri is a team that they recruit well for what they're doing. They're after they're in a battle with Georgia right now for the best receiver in the country in the class of 2022, a guy named Luther Burden out of East St. Louis, Illinois. So Eli Drinkwitz trying to make some noise there on the recruiting trail, bring in some talent to that roster, and it's going to be interesting to see. But I think a 2.5-point favorite to Missouri is maybe a little aggressive in my opinion. I think this is more of a pick'em type game, but I think the reason overall, TK, for that, and remember, we're not picking right now. We're just listing why we think Vegas is thinking the way they are. I think Phil Dracovic being out and also the success and continuity that Tyler Beatty and Connor Bazelak have shown this year, year two under Eli Drinkwitz, that's probably why. So, you know, that's we've actually done it, man. We've talked about all the spreads in these games. We've talked about what's coming up for the week. But this Friday, we're going to try to have some guests lined up. We're working on some things for you guys. So we'll see. I'm going to definitely have Andrew Hutchinson, an Arkansas beat writer that is with the Arkansas Rivals side. He'll be joining me in an interview. TK is working on something on his side to see. We don't want to overpromise and underdeliver, so we're going to keep it under our lids for right now, but it could be a big guest for you here. So make sure to hit that subscribe button, turn on notifications, guys, throw us a like in there too on the 365 Sports YouTube channel. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcast. We would really appreciate that. And on the Believe Podcast Network, this has been the Second to None podcast brought to you by Bet Online and Play Action Pools. TK, looking forward to locking in on Friday, man. All these picks, we're going to dive deep into these different game previews.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get it in. We're going to lock it in Friday.
That's it. We'll catch you guys on Lock In Friday on the Second to None podcast.